Dads on the air, we're here cause we care. We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network from the studios of Fine Music 102.5. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and we have a special guest with us today who has come from the UK to be in our program for a third time. Our guest is Glenn Poole, who is a director of the consultancy Helping Men and also the UK coordinator of International Men's Day, as well as being co-editor of a new book, Inside Man, Pioneering Stories About Men and Boys. Glenn, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, the reason for Glenn's visit at this time is because we're coming up to International Men's Day on Thursday, 19 November. Glenn, you've come out with the idea of conducting an IMD debate around International Men's Day. What is the main theme for International Men's Day this year?
Okay, so International Men's Day, as people may know, happens every year on the 19th of November. It takes place all over the world, and people celebrate it in loads of different ways, and different people create different themes. But a key group of people who've been involved in International Men's Day for several years now, including the founder, Jerome T. Luxing from the West Indies, have chosen the theme Making a Difference for Men and Boys as this year's theme. So we encourage people all over the world to do whatever they want to do to celebrate the men in their lives, to highlight the issues that face men and boys and fathers in any way they want to, and if possible to do that within the theme of making a difference for men and boys.
And there are a few particular areas where it would be great to make a difference. So I wonder if you could tell us some of those. I'm thinking perhaps starting with men's shorter life expectancy. Is there something we can do about that?
Is there something we can do? It's maybe not in one day, but it's certainly an issue we need to focus on. I suppose one of the things about International Men's Day is making people aware that there are a whole host of issues, which are global issues, which affect men and boys disproportionately. So, for example, in practically all countries in the world, men and boys will live a shorter life. For all sorts of reasons. All over the world, men have a higher suicide rate. All over the world, we find, particularly more in the developing world, this one, but it happens in many different countries, that boys don't do as well as girls in education. We know that dads all over the world face various different struggles in their whole relationship with their children, ranging from, you know, dads who are just starting out as new fathers and want to be more involved in their kids' life, right through to, you know, separated fathers who are struggling to get contact with their kids. We see that pattern happening all over the world. And I think increasingly a global phenomenon that I'm sure many of your listeners will be familiar with is just the way that the media and films and advertising and even the political discourse around men and women can be very negative about men and boys, take a very sort of negative view of masculinity. So those are some of the broad topics which we get people to think about. I'm happy to hone in on any one of those if you want to now.
Well, there's a general lack of awareness about this, isn't there? Because I imagine the response you get from a lot of people is that men aren't disadvantaged. They're it's the patriarchy. Men are doing better than women in most of these areas. Do you confront a lot of that?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, that is one of the reasons to have this day. And I can give you a really live example of that. In the run-up to International Men's Day in the UK this year, we had a Member of Parliament who took a request to the committee which decides what issues are debated in Parliament. And he asked for a debate on all of these issues that I've just listed in the House of Parliament on International Men's Day. And he highlighted quite rightly that the same thing happens for women and girls on International Women's Day in March every year. He was in no way saying that shouldn't happen. And also, what happens every month is we have sets of questions in the House of Parliament called the Women Inequalities Question. So there are particular areas in the political debate in the UK where there's a system in place to ensure that issues affecting women and girls disproportionately is debated and discussed. And there's no similar spot in the political agenda for men and boys. And the very fact that people resist that is kind of part of the problem. There's a strange irony if you take male suicide, for example. When people look at the high male suicide rate, they'll often go, well, men need to talk, don't they? Men need to talk about this. And yet then the moment that men step forward and say, right, we want to talk about all these issues, which, by the way, most of them are linked in some way to suicide, people say, well, you can't have that conversation. That's not right. So what happened in that particular incident in the UK was one of the people on the committee who was a female MP and a very strong advocate for women's equality issues, came out with a position that men shouldn't be allowed to have a debate on International Men's Day on the basis that there are more male MPs in Parliament than female MPs. And this is the kind of argument that we come up against. So if you're a homeless guy, a guy who's being suicidal, a father who's separated from his kids, a boy who's struggling in education, a man who's trapped in an abusive relationship and is a victim of domestic violence from his wife, a man who is raped or sexually abused, if you're any of those things, you can't have your issues debated in Parliament because there are more male MPs in Parliament than female MPs in Parliament, which is an insane argument. And as the guy who was advocating for the debate quite rightly said, there's a big difference between men in Parliament raising issues and people raising men's issues. And traditionally, of course, everyone will accept that there are more men in positions of power, the top of business, in the media, in religion, and certainly in politics. There's more men than women. But in terms of men's issues and women's issues, the vast majority of the focus is on women's issues. Men in power do not raise men's issues and would probably be ridiculed for doing so. And that's part of the challenge we need to get over. We need to find a way to be able to talk about men's issues. The next challenge we face then is that when we do actually get men's issues on the agenda, the tendency is then to say, well, let's talk about all the problems that men cause. Which, you know, is the next hurdle. There's a whole series of hurdles we need to overcome just to get these issues talked about.
Yes, and I think there's another misunderstanding here that people regard it as a zero-sum game, and in the sense that they feel that if anything is done for men, it's going to take away what's done for women. But I think your argument is it should be done for both.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the sign of a civil society, like the sign of, you know, a good parent who's got a son and a daughter will do their best to make sure that their son's problems and their daughter's problems are addressed, right? And equally, you know, a good society which takes care of the women and girls and the men and boys in that society will want to look at the problems that the women and girls face and look at the problems that the men and boys face and try and find ways to overcome them. But we have got ourselves tied in this knot. The starting point for this conversation is very much been that men have it all, and now we need to make the world better for women. I've got no objection personally to making the world better for women and girls. Why wouldn't we want to do that? I've got a teenage daughter. Of course I want her to inherit a world where she gets the best chance in life, where her gender is no barrier to her success and her happiness and all the rest of it. And it's not a but, I think it's really important language we use, and we can do that for men and boys too. But yeah, we haven't that apparently very simple concept that we should help women and girls and men and boys is not yet part of our political dialogue. And that's part of the reason for having International Men's Day.
And for a primer on the issues that we're talking about, there's your Inside Man book. Now, this is based on blogs, I understand.
Yeah, so one of the things that I personally want to see happen with International Men's Day and all conversations about you know, men and boys' issues and the problems that dads face is that we get as many different people talking about it. I think one of the challenges we face is people tend to sort of approach these issues from their own viewpoint. Their own, whether that's sort of a right-wing or a left-wing viewpoint, whether that's a religious viewpoint, Christian or Muslim or Jewish or whatever, or atheist, whether that's, we'll be familiar in the world of gender equality, whether that's a feminist or an anti-feminist perspective, you might have a libertarian or an authoritarian perspective, and people tend to get locked into their one approach being the right approach. And what I'm trying to do with initiatives like International Men's Day is say we need all people trying to address these really difficult problems. If the world is going to tackle problems as big as, you know, violence and suicide and the problems that happen when couples separate and all that, we need as many different people trying to help out as possible. So I try to encourage platforms and spaces where as many different people can get involved as possible. So the reason for having a debate in Parliament is not so that we can support, you know, one political party over another. It's so we can get all politicians and all political parties thinking about how they would like to address these issues. we're trying to do with the book is just get it started out as an online blog called Inside Man, and the idea is we wanted to encourage people to write about men's issues, write about being a man, write about masculinity, write about manhood from as many different perspectives as possible, and make that conversation easy. Because as you know, Bill, sometimes people are scared to have this conversation, or they don't have the language to have this conversation. We wanted to make it really easy for men in particular, but women too, but for men in particular, to talk about their experiences of being a man.
Yes, and we're speaking with Glenn Poole, who is the UK coordinator of International Men's Day and co-editor of the new book Inside Man, Pioneering Stories About Men and Boys. We're going to hear a bit more about that in a minute. Glenn, we're going to take a break in a minute, but you've selected a song for us to go out on. Could you tell us which song you've picked?
Yeah, so I've chosen one of my old favourites. It's My Old Man by Ian Jury from the 1970s. And the reason I love this song is it's essentially a love song to his dad. But it doesn't use the word love anywhere. It's just a fantastic eulogy and a demonstration how men recognise and demonstrate the love of their father and the love for their father.
So here it is, My Old Man by Ian Jury.
My old man wore three-piece whistles. He was never home for long. Drove a bus for London Transport. He knew where he belonged. Number 18 down to Euston. Double decker, move along. Double decker, move along. My old man. Later on he drove a roller, chauffeuring for foreign men. Dropped his H's on occasion. Said go blimey now and then. Did the crossword in the Standard. At the airport in the rain. At the airport in the rain. My old man wouldn't ever let his governors call him Billy, he was proud. Personal reasons make a difference. His last post was allowed. Perhaps he had to keep his distance. Made a racket when he rowed. Made a racket when he rowed. My old man. My old man. My old man was fairly handsome. He smoked too many cigs. Lived in one room in Victoria. He was tidy in his digs. Had to have an operation when his ulcer got too big. When his ulcer got too big. My old man.
That was My Old Man by Ian Dury. And we're speaking today to Glenn Poole, who is the UK coordinator of International Men's Day and co-editor of the new book Inside Man, Pioneering Stories About Men and Boys. So, Glenn, we just started talking about your book Inside Man. You cover a lot of these topics in the book, and these are actually individual authors who've contributed articles, and you've selected them. There's such a wide range of articles. I guess this means there are a wide range of topics where men are being disadvantaged.
Well, completely. And it's just really interesting that, you know, for years there's been a sort of a small minority of people who've been very aware statistically of the many issues that are out there. We could talk about the statistics around the suicide rate and the statistics in terms of life expectancy and the statistics in terms of, you know, the number of kids who are separated from their fathers and that kind of stuff. But it's been really difficult actually getting individual stories out there for a variety of reasons. You know, sometimes literally, like with separated dads in the UK, you know, you're banned from actually talking about your circumstances in the media in case you reveal the identity of your child. Sometimes perhaps the people who are wanting to talk about these issues aren't as articulate as we might hope they may be, or they may be very angry or damaged, and they can sometimes not represent themselves very well. Sometimes you've got a very hostile media who doesn't actually want to listen to their stories, who actually wants to try and sort of demonize them. So I think men's voices in this particular sphere have been blocked and suppressed in lots of different ways. And when men have tried to stand up and talk about this stuff, they've often faced ridicule or disbelief. So, and then on top of that, we have this story which then says, well, men don't talk, right? Sure, men maybe express themselves differently, as the Injury song we've just heard sort of demonstrates. You know, men can be quite stoical, but they can also express a hell of a lot of emotion in very different and deep ways, through music, through poetry, through different language. And what we wanted to do with this book was demonstrate, actually, that men have got a whole heap to say, because people like you who've provided a space for men to talk, and people like me who've run groups for men, actually know that men will yarn and yarn and yarn for hours if you listen in the right way. One of the things that I say from my experience is people say men need to talk, and I say no, men do talk. What you need to do is you need to listen. We need to change the way we listen to men and boys, and when we listen differently without judgment and actually prepare ourselves to hear what they want to say and what they have to say, man, will they talk. And this book is a fantastic demonstration of that. This book is a combination of some very well-known journalists and commentators in the UK. It's got some people who have been running charities and men's projects for years, and it's got some ordinary blokes who've never written anything before. I'll give one example, which is this is one of 40, but it really touches me. It was a guy, and I think he's an Iraqi guy, an Iraqi Christian guy in London, who got in touch with us and said, my wife wants to circumcise our son, and I really don't want her to do it, and I don't know how to stop her. And this guy wasn't that his English wasn't great. He'd never sort of like, you know, written anything before. We tried to help him, and I'll leave you to read the book to find out his full story. But the desperation of that man and what he was going through for the love of his son was just palpable. It kind of like it just poured down the phone. And I thought, we've got to let this guy tell his story. No one's listening to this man's story. You got in touch with some people who are running a blog. We're not a helpline. We're not experts in this kind of field. But he got in touch with us because when he went searching on the internet, he couldn't find anyone who was there to help him. When he went to the health service or to law professions, he couldn't find anyone who was there to help him. No one would listen to his story. So we provide him a platform to tell his story, and that's what this book is all about. And they are fantastic stories, each one short, punchy, and gives us lots of different examples of the many issues that men and boys face. And not just that, how men are processing them and how men are actually dealing with those issues.
And Glenn, you've contributed some articles yourself. There's one called It's Time to Give Men a Break, which sort of would deal with the sort of topics you're talking about now.
Yeah. I mean, that's an article I wrote for the Telegraph in the UK on International Men's Day last year. And basically, I think one of the arguments I'm saying is, look, you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier, that this idea, well, look, men have got all the power, so why on earth do you need an International Men's Day? Most blokes are not prime ministers. Most blokes are not the Pope. Most blokes are not CEOs. Most blokes are ordinary, average blokes having ordinary, average lives, and we face some challenges. Give us a break. Give us a break. We're doing our best. Give us some space. So celebrate and honour guys for the struggles they face. And by the way, I think we also need to recognise that even men right at the top of the society are more likely than the women from the same background to commit suicide, to have health problems, to be separated from their kids. So just because a guy's at the top of the tree in the outside world doesn't mean to say that he's got it all going on internally in the inside world. And I think that's the big mistake we make with men. Yeah, sure, men are big and tough and strong and rule the world and all the rest of it. But what's going on inside for men? That's why we kind of call this collection Inside Man. It asks the question, even for a fella who looks like he's got everything going right for him, I'm sure we've all known of people who've like killed themselves or had friends who knew people who killed themselves, and they're scratching their head going, but I thought he had everything. Mm. He seemed to have a great job. He had a house. He had no debt. He had a lovely wife and kids. I just don't understand. Those stories happen all over the world every day because we're not asking ourselves the question, what's actually going on inside men, right?
And we're speaking with Glenn Poole, who is the UK coordinator of International Men's Day and the co-editor of a new book called Inside Man, Pioneering Stories About Men and Boys. Glenn, I want to hit you with a big question. It's raised in your book, but can you reflect on what it is to be a young man in today's society?
I'm 46. But yeah, but kind of you to think of me as a young man, Bill. That's very, very kind. No, I got asked this question, a similar question by a media outlet in Finland just a couple of days ago. So it's obviously a question that's really playing on people's minds. And I don't pretend to have all the answers because I honestly don't know what it's like to be a teenager in 2015. I think, but I'll hazard a guess from my experience. I think potentially it's two things. I think potentially it's both a very exciting time, but also a very confusing time. I think this generation, when I look back on the men that I've known in my life, so like my grandfather and my father and my older brother, and then, some of the boys who are like friends of my teenage daughter. This is different generations of boys and men that I've personally had contact with. Man, the world has changed hugely since my grandfather's day. He was around 100 years ago, First World War. And the world that he grew up in, and my dad grew up in, and I grew up in, and my older brother grew up in, and my daughter's peer group had grown up in, it changed massively. I was at an event in Parramatta in Sydney just a couple of weeks ago, an education conference. It was fantastic. And the CEO of, I think it was Google, was there, and she was reflecting on what the world is going to be like for her two sons. And I think if we enable our sons to sort of really embrace this new and exciting world that they're living into, they could have a fantastically rich and diverse life that's very different from ours. But there are boys who are going to miss out. No matter how hard we work, there are boys who are going to miss out. There are boys, more and more boys, who are going to end up without work, without connection to family, end up one of those suicide statistics. And I really worry about those. I think the future for young men growing up is quite mixed and quite diverse. For some, it'll be fantastic. And some are going to really struggle. And I think what we need to do, sorry, Bill, is just actually not relate to all young men or all men as the same, and actually find ways of actually getting the best pathway in life for all our young men, all our sons, no matter what they're like, yeah?
We might finish on a positive note. The last story in the book is called It's Great to Be a Man. So we do still have a lot of those freedoms that perhaps our forefathers fought for. Glenn, unfortunately, we've run out of time again, but you've picked another song for us to go out on. Could you tell us which one it is and why you chose it?
Yeah, this sort of goes in with the other songs. It's another father-son song, but this time it's a father singing a song to his son. And it's a dad who's just become a father for the first time, and it has all the love and all the naivety and all the fear and all this insecurity and all the joy of a new father. And I think in relation to your last question, what it tells me is it's okay for us not to know the answer. This dad in this song, he doesn't know all the answers, but the one thing that unites all fathers that I've ever met, no matter how good we are at being a father or how not so good we are at being a father, is that we all of us are committed to being the best dads we can be. We just don't always know how. And this is what David Bowie is expressing for me, as far as I'm concerned, his commitment to be the best dad he can be to his son, who for some reason he called Zowie.
So this is Kooks by David Bowie.
Will you stay in a lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you.
soon you'll grow. So take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Will you stay in our love story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow. So take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Bought a lot of things to keep you warm and dry, and a funny old crib on which the paint won't dry. I bought you a pair of shoes, a trumpet you can blow, and a book of rules of what to say to people when they pick on you. 'Cause if you stay with us, you're gonna be pretty cookie too. Will you stay in our lover story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. And if you ever have to go to school, remember how they messed up this old fool. Don't pick fights with the bullies or the cats, 'cause I'm not much cop at punching other people's dads. And if the homework brings you down, then we'll throw it on the fire and take the car downtown. Will you stay in our lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple of kooks hung up on romancing. Will you stay in my lover's story? If you stay, you won't be sorry, 'cause we believe in you. Soon you'll grow, so take a chance with a couple.
And that was Kooks by David Bowie. We'd love to hear from any of our listeners. Just go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us an email and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au. So all that remains for me to do is to thank particularly our guest today, Glenn Poole. Glenn, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Bill. It's been great.
And we'll be back again next week with another show. So for now, that's goodbye from Dads on the Air.